Welcome, everyone, to How to Start a Podcast Live and this special live stream session on the value of guests and guesting with Josh Carey and Michael Woodward of PodMax. Guests and guesting on other people's podcasts are some of the most overlooked ways to add value to and grow your podcast. In this session, Josh and Michael will jump in and share how to get good guests who target your audience and guests on other people's podcasts for cross-promotional impact. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, How to Start a Podcast Live is a live streamed event with sessions like this one featuring top podcasters and podcast experts from around the world together here on our live stream platform, Podbean Live, as we dive into production, promotion, editing, audience growth, live streaming, and more. You can replay any of the panels on the How to Start a Podcast Live podcast channel and download the Podbean app and follow the channel to receive notifications in real time about all of the live stream and replays of the week. Feel free to post any questions for our experts during the session in the chat box of our live stream. We do ask that you keep it on topic for this session. And if you have any questions for the team here at Podbean or about the platform, send those by email to support@podbean.com. How to Start a Podcast Live is brought to you by Podbean. We're a podcast hosting and monetizing platform and home to over 500,000 podcasts. And you can easily start a podcast at podbean.com or from our app within minutes. We offer something for every podcaster and show, with options ranging from a free account to multiple show hosting to our enterprise platform for businesses. Oh, Josh, I think we're picking you up a little bit. Just as I read the intro.
What's up?
Oh, I think we're, I just think we're picking up some external audio. Yep. Okay, perfect. We have various podcast creation, monetization, and engagement tools here at Podbean. Head over to podbean.com to start your podcast today. And if you use the code PODNOW, you'll get your first 30 days free. That's PODNOW to get your first 30 days of hosting for free. If you haven't registered yet, you'll want to make sure you do right now at podcastweek.live/start. That's podcastweek.live/start, as we've teamed up with our friends at Shure, and we'll be giving away a Shure MV7 microphone to one of our registered attendees on our next and last session of the weekend, live streaming your podcast at 5 p.m. Eastern time here with the Podbean team. So you'll need to be in that live stream and registered for the event to win the mic. And now we'll hand it off to our session right now, Josh and Michael from PodMax. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much. I'm just really, really psyched to be a part of this, a part of you, a part of Podbean, and alongside for the ride with literally one of, if not the smartest people, I believe, in our industry, known on the screen right here as Jumblethink. It's Michael Woodward. My man, Mike, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks so much for letting me join along for the ride. It's always fun to connect with you, and excited to connect with the Podbean family here too.
Yeah, certainly. So we're going to spend the next 45 or 50 minutes, make it as valuable as possible. What we're going to touch upon are the two sides of the same coin of guesting. It's, as you know, it's as a host, the guests you're bringing on your show, who should they be? How do you find the right ones for you? What are the determining factors? What makes a great guest for you? What are you looking for? How can you position them to bring in the most value possible? And then on the flip side of that, how, as a host, can you go on the other side of the mic and guest? And, you know, the good hosts know that one way to get some listeners to your show, and also a whole stream of other benefits, is for you to get yourself out there and guest on shows. But there's a lot of skill and technique even to make that work. So we're really going to dig deep into how to be the best guest ever, how to bring your best self. What does that mean? How can you best align and position yourself in that seat for the host when you're on that side. So to give you a very quick overview of who I am, who Michael is, and why in the world you should even care or listen, short and sweet, I'm the founder of PodMax, which is an event and training company in the podcast space. We teach and train thought leaders and entrepreneurs how to identify, practice, and fine-tune their message. And then we help get them heard through podcasts. Individually, I also come to the industry a few years in with my own podcast called The Hidden Entrepreneur Show, well over 200 episodes now. Aside from that, at least 100 more episodes from a couple of other shows that I've been the co-host for. I will throw it over to you, Michael, just to give some credentials, because like I said, one of the smartest, most knowledgeable guys in the industry, the host of JumbleThink, is an extraordinary show. Let us know what you're doing in the space.
Yeah, so I get to partner with the PodMax crew and be a part of their amazing offerings of what they do. But beyond that, I host a podcast called JumbleThink. We're nearing 400 episodes. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be hitting that number. We've had lots of guests, and I've been able to guest on a lot of other shows and just learn a lot about this space. I come from the tech space, from the development and software and web side of things. And so I enter the podcast space from that world and apply the understanding of messaging and communicating and storytelling and how narrative plays a part of what you do. And that really does apply to being a guest and also a host of a show, understanding how you position your voice and message as that guest, as that host.
Yeah, I'd also love to, off the bat, make this as interactive as possible. So if you're in the chat, we'd love to know if you're a host, let us know how many guests episodes you have under your belt. And then also, same person, or if you do not yet have a show, but you have found yourself guesting or not, let us know how many times you've been in the guest seat, how many shows you've appeared as a guest on. So Michael, while we're waiting for that, you said you have nearing 400 episodes, my goodness. But on the other side of the table, how many guest spots have you appeared on?
It's got to be close to around 100 now. Some of those are return guests on shows that are hosted by friends or colleagues or partners that we partner with in what we do. But it's over right around 100 guest appearances on shows outside of our own show at this point.
And can you qualify any sort of return that you could lead back to that? Like, what have those guest appearances really done for you personally, professionally?
Well, it's done a few things. One, it brings awareness of my own show, which is, let's be honest, every podcast host's goal is to grow their audience and awareness of their show. So there's an awareness win there. Also, with some of the things that I offer as services and the various spaces I operate, I get to offer my area of expertise. And that can be in how to craft story or narrative or how to use a website better. It depends on what the host of that show really wants to get out. And ultimately, I always say the audience is the hero of any good show because we're creating content for them. We're not creating content for ourselves. So as a guest on other people's show, knowing and being aware of what they need out of it actually sets me up for bigger successes. So the more I align with their audience, the more I hear from their audience, I get maybe an email or a social media comment or a message. And that connection is so valuable. I think the world of video and vlogging and YouTube has a win over podcasting when it comes to the connectivity of audience. I remember early on as a podcaster thinking, how do I actually hear from these people? How do I get them to engage the audience, whether it's as a guest on somebody else's show or on my own show? But the more I guest on shows, the more I hear from people who might be listening into that conversation going, you know what? I really resonated with that. That really impacted me in this way. So there are business wins, but there's also that connectivity win. And that's, I think, when you get more connectivity, that's how you grow your audience. That's how you grow your numbers, your downloads, your streams. All of those numbers go up, the more connected you can be. And so guesting, that's been one of the big wins for me. It's just bringing that connectivity, bringing it a little bit closer, getting a little bit more exposure, getting connected in the conversation. And the other thing is that it's just really a way to give back to other people. Maybe it's a new host and being able to help their show early on, or maybe it's an established host and being able to come in and answer a question that their audience hasn't gotten an answer for. Those are big wins. And so those are my takeaways from being a guest on that side when it comes to some of the wins I've had. Yes, it's been business. Yes, it's been awareness. Yes, it's been audience growth. Yes, it's been connectivity. There's a lot of wins there. And being a guest, the more I do it, the more I'm like, I've got to be doing this more often than I'm even doing it now.
When I first started hosting, and then certainly this equates to guesting, I was quite shocked. I didn't expect. One of the amazing wins that I found that that did for me was it built my confidence. Now, my story is all about living four decades of my life, you know, playing small, showing up weak, hiding all of my skill, talent, and ability because I wanted to seek your approval. Little did I know that entering in to the podcast space as a host and as a guest would increase my confidence. To this day, I'm just really so blown away and thankful for that point. Mike, did you ever find that it helps in that regard? Helps you really be a better person than you once were?
I think it depends on the show and the host. I would say yes, overall, yes. It does give confidence. It gives more certainty. It's that 10,000 hours principle. The more you share your message, the more you share your point of view, the more you get to have conversations with incredible people, the more confident you're going to get because the more certainty you have in your knowledge set and in your ability. So absolutely, I've had that side of things. But one of the other sides going a step further, not only has it helped with confidence and certainty of knowing my point of view, my message, my tone, but it's also helped me to feel more credible. Because the more I'm on there, each host, because if they're a good host, they're giving you your trust as a guest. They're trusting you to be right for their audience. They're trusting you to bring value to their show. And it's built this other side of that equation, the confidence side, but also the credibility side. And it's helped to build credibility, not only in that confidence for myself, but also from the standpoint of others seeing me as an expert in the spaces that I'm sharing on.
So let's go down that credibility path. I love that you brought that into the conversation because it's one thing as a host to be able to deliberately really position ourselves as credible. That's a whole conversation in and of itself. But let's talk about as a host now bringing a guest on. We want a guest that is credible for all sorts of beneficial reasons. So how do we take that first step and the next step to find, identify, make sure, figure out, determine the credibility of a guest? And is that so important?
Well, for me, I think that it depends where you are in your journey. You know, if you are an early podcaster, you don't know a lot of things. You don't have that confidence. You don't have that experience. You don't have everything figured out. My show now is vastly different than it was day one when I started the show, right? And so if I'm looking at the guests that I'm bringing on, there are my dream guests, the people that are perfect for my audience, that are people I want to talk to. They're always going to be a yes. And those are the people I'm actively going after. So there's an engagement there. And as you grow your show as a host, you also find that some of those people start coming to you. And that's a powerful place. But early on in the show, for me, I said yes to a lot of people who may have not been the best fit for the show. And it's sometimes easy when you're like, oh, you know, I've got my job over here and I've got this going on over here. I just need a guest to fill in for this week or next week or the week after that. And so you might bring on a guest that you're like, I'm not so excited about it. If you're not excited about the guest, the audience is probably not going to be excited about the guest. And that person should be a no. So number one is the excitement factor. Am I excited about this guest? Number two, I think it's the value that they bring. Can they talk well in a conversation like this conversation? Can they share the points of their zone of genius with others in an effective way that engages the audience, that the audience is pushing into the conversation to say, I need to hear what they're saying? And if the guest isn't there, depending on where your show is, you might need to say no to that guest. I think the third way to quantify it is, are they coming in to bring value or are they coming to sell stuff? Yes, everyone that is a guest is trying to get something out of it, whether they're a celebrity, whether they're an entrepreneur, whether they're a coach, whatever role they're in, they're coming into a show to get something out of it. But if they come in with the mentality of like, I'm going to sell to your audience without bringing in value, I'm just using your platform to say, hey, come to my website and buy whatever I have, that's a no for me. And so I look at those different areas, and those are some of the credibility markers. Other credibility markers that I look for are, you know, maybe it's a person that's not super well known. Okay, well, are they really good at communicating their message? Are they going to bring value? Are they going to show up and be prepared for this conversation? Then I might say yes, even though they might not have a huge social following or a big audience of their own. Now, on the flip side, I might take someone that's a little rougher and isn't exactly a perfect fit, but they're going to drive a lot of people to the conversation because they have a huge audience. Maybe they have a big numbers on Facebook or on YouTube or on Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn. And I know that my show is going to reach a larger audience. I may have them on and try to convert their fans into audience for me. So there's a little bit of a trade-off on there. And I think as a host, one of the first things you need to do is step back and say, what am I getting out? And what is my audience getting out of this conversation? And go into deciding if this guest is good or bad based on, do they meet the criteria for a good experience for my audience? And do they get the things that I'm looking for into the conversation?
See, when I started this whole conversation saying that without any sort of hyperbole here, you are literally one of the smartest people I know in and out of the industry, I just took a page of notes just on what you rattled off there. It's just amazing. And I have, I just want to get some clarity on some of these things, because what I can relate to is, I've been, my show, The Hidden Entrepreneur Show, launched in the summer of 2018. So this July will be 3 years running. And when I started it early on, I felt the confidence I was getting. And I knew that I wanted to double down and just get numbers on the board, right? By no means any sacrifice of quality, but I wanted to get, like you said, I wanted to get the experience, those 10,000 hours. I knew that I was going to improve by doing, by interviewing. So I was more ready, willing, and able to say yes to a lower threshold, also because I really didn't have my brand or things so established or dialed in. I know who I wanted to speak to. So there was a bigger, broad yes category. So I was saying yes to a lot of people that filled a broad category. And then as I started getting the numbers, as I started getting more awareness of who I am, how I want to represent myself, who I really want to speak to, who my audience is, who I want to share this space with, I then started saying no more and started being a little more discerning on who the guests were. You mentioned, Michael, that I think you said in the beginning that you were also bringing on guests that you were not really excited about, but you were bringing them on. Why were you bringing them on with that knowledge?
Well, I think there's the logistics of it. I've got to fill a slot this week. You know, I started podcasting in 2017, that January of 2017. I started getting interviews recorded in 2016. And so when you're early on, sometimes you're like, I just need to fill this spot here this week. Or maybe it's been at the time I was trying to do interviews with a release date within a week or two of the interview. And so sometimes there were times where you would just be like, hey, I just need to fill this spot. And that was very early on the show. But the other thing is sometimes there's this power of crafting. So as a host, you have to understand that you're not always going to have a guest that shows up. So you have to do more of the heavy lifting of the conversation. Having those guests early on to use it as a tool to craft your skill can be really powerful. I have talked to really famous people that are horrible interviews, and I have to do a lot more work for that maybe. And because early on I took those risks with people, I thought, well, maybe this person isn't going to be a great fit. There were a lot of skills I learned, and those helped me later on with the guests that you go, hey, this is going to be a great conversation. You jump on, you're like, oof, that's rough. That's rough. And so I think it's a little bit of skill learning, but it's also just the sheer logistics. When you're early on the show, sometimes you just need someone to fill a spot. And that sounds bad, but that consistency of I'm going to get an episode out every Monday, I'm going to get an episode out every Wednesday or Thursday, or, you know, depending on who it is, are you doing it once a week, twice a week? And sometimes you just need to pick up and fill the spot. The other thing is sometimes I've said yes to someone I wasn't certain about, and they show up and it's an incredible conversation. They turn out to be an amazing guest. And so sometimes you just have to take a risk thinking, you know, on paper, this person looks like they're not going to be a great guest, but something inside of me intuitively is saying, maybe take a risk on this one. And sometimes that pays off.
I'd love to hear from the group here, and then I'll get your take on it as well, Michael. I'd love to hear when you are pitched a guest, and again, this is for those in the room here, when you're pitched a guest and now it's in your court to either say yes or no, what is your process? What is your determining factor? I'm sure you'll get either pitched on social with a blurb and or some links and or a one sheet. So what is the factor that allows you to arrive at a proper yes or no thanks? Is it that you're just reading their bullet points, their skill and their expertise? Are you heading over to their website? What are you looking for there? Are you checking out their social? What are you looking for there? Are you watching their videos? What's important? Are you looking at their numbers? What's your process, Michael, when it's in your court to say yes or no?
Yeah, so I get pitched probably around 30 times a day on various platforms for guests, probably more than that on a busy week, I might get 100 requests or above. And so first thing I look at is, do they meet my requirements? Like, I don't take marketing experts or coaches on my show. So if they hit those two things, it's an automatic no. Even if they look like they could be the best guest in the world, unless I have a relationship with them, I don't bring coaches on. I don't bring marketing experts.
Why is that? Can we ask why?
Yeah, for me, for my show, I just found that my audience really didn't dig what they had to offer. A lot of coaches come on and they want to sell what they do. Hey, hire me to be a coach or a marketing expert. Hey, I use my program, hire our services. It just was very salesy, and that's not everyone. So we do have coaches and we do have marketing experts come on the show, but they need to cultivate a relationship and trust with me, because we found that a lot of our audience weren't interested in those conversations for our show.
Fine.
So for me, that was a quantifier. Early on, we took them, but the more we did those kind of conversations, the more we found our audience just checked out and didn't listen to them. So using that data, what are people listening to your show? Which episodes are they tuning in? What kind of guests are they listening to? Those can be great markers for, should I bring on this type of guest again? You hear in the comments, if somebody is controversial or they really tie into the message of the guest, you're going to hear comments on those posts and you're going to hear feedback from people. You might get an email, you might get a direct message. And so you can, over time, after doing this for a while, start seeing what kind of guests really resonate with our audience. For us, it wasn't coaches and it wasn't marketing experts. So number one, if I get an email and it's one of those two things, I'll send an email back and I'll just say, hey, I just need to quantify, who is this person? Is this what they do? And if it's yes, that's what they do, then I just do a polite email. I'm sorry, but we no longer take coaches and marketing experts. We just found our audience wasn't really interested in it. And usually we get a very nice email back. Thanks for letting us know. We really appreciate it. Step number two. So I do an immediate filter. The second thing is if it's really salesy up front and there's nothing that catches my attention as like, this is noteworthy, I'll either say no immediately or I'll put it on hold and process it. And so if it doesn't pique my interest when I read the pitch, so I want to be on your show, this is why I want to be on your show, or I'm pitching so-and-so to be a guest. If I'm getting it and one, it's too salesy and like it sounds like they're trying to do me a favor by being on the show, I don't want that on my show. They're not doing me a favor. I have people who want to be on my show. So they need to be humble about the approach. So if there's the lack of that, but the second thing is if what they're pitching doesn't pique my interest, if it doesn't get me excited, then it's probably not a good guest. Now, sometimes I'll be on the fence. And so then I'll do what you said. I'll go read an article. I'll go watch a video. I'll listen to another episode from another person that's been on a place that they've been on another show. And so I'll go back and kind of vet them at that point. So there then is the fourth category of people, which are those people who are like, they understand our show. I can see that from the pitch. They might put things in there like, I really like this episode. And then they bullet point out why they liked a specific episode of my show. Okay, well, they're very interested in being on my show. So they quantified that too. They tailor their pitch not around a boilerplate, but they really dial it into like, I want to be on your show to share this message because I think it will really resonate with your audience. And then if it's somebody that fits like our core criteria, we want people to talk about their ideas or if they started something, why did they start it? We want people to share areas of expertise about turning ideas into reality. And so if they start getting into those DNA of our show in their pitch to us, I get super excited about that. And then on the flip side, we have people that pitch from agencies and they tailor it to us and they say, hey, I want Joe Smith to be on your show. Here's why I think he'd be a good fit. And you know, the more you build those relationships with publicists, with booking agents, with there are podcast booking companies, the more that one of those people builds a relationship with me, I'm thinking like, I know I can trust this person because they understand my show. I know that they're promoting their client, but they also know that I'm going to be a hard no or yes on something. So they're trying to make it so that that guest is going to be good for my show. And, you know, that fourth category is just a simple yes. It's just like they hit all of those points. They're going to talk to the things we want. I get excited about their pitch. They understand our show. They understand what we're looking for in a conversation. They understand our audience. I'm like, this is going to be a win. Yeah. So how about you, Josh? What do you look for?
Yeah, I was gonna chime in. It's so interesting because what I love about this industry is that there are so little rules and there's so much creative liberty. Meaning, you want to create a show, as you know, all you need is a microphone and a place to record, and anything within that confines, you can go and do. Like, you could create the kind of show you want and make it look, appear, and sound any way you want. There's just so much creative liberty, which I love. So with that, one of my...
I think we may have lost Josh there. You there, Josh?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we lost you there for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. You hear me? You hear me, yeah?
Yep, we hear you.
Yep. Cool. Thanks. So, one of the things that will get me to a yes, probably 80 to 85% there, is me determining very quickly of if I like the person. Yeah. Do I? I'm back.
We lost you there again.
Josh. I'm back.
Here. Okay, Josh, I think, sorry, this is Norma Jean from the Podbean team. I think you're just accidentally muting yourself. So I just wanted to.
No. I had a call coming in. Sorry, I had a call coming in.
Okay.
That's what it was. Yeah. Am I going to want to spend time with this person? Is like I said, 80 to 85. that's where I'm really playing. So I'll do that by going out and finding a way to determine if I can vibe with this person. I want to see them on video. I want to get to hear them speak. I want to make that assessment. And then from there, I then say, great, I'm almost there. Let me see now if it makes sense for my show. And it's really just a feeling, to tell you the truth. I know, Michael, you're much more analytical driven than I am. I'm more emotional based. So that's what I said earlier. Like, there's just like really no rules. Whatever works for your mission, your goals, it'll just work.
Yeah. I want to hit on something real quick that we're kind of walking around, if that's okay, Josh, that I think that it comes down to whether you are a host bringing on a guest or whether you're a guest appearing on a show. The process, you have to do the work though. And a lot of people are kind of lazy about this. I know I get into those habits too, where I get pitches and maybe I'm not as critical of the pitches as I should be. And I'm like, yeah, sure, come on the show, you know? And then later I'm like, maybe I should have said no. And I second guess it. And the interviews usually turn out fine. But so many people feel like, you mentioned there, you have a mic, you have a quiet place to record, you can have a podcast. Yes, that's true. But if you're going to have a great podcast, you've got to put the work in and you got to prepare for the show. So when you have a guest on the show as a host, you've got to do the work to prepare so that you can have an intelligent conversation with the person, so that you can bring value to the conversation, ask the right questions, ask the questions that your audience is sitting there saying, would you ask that question? Ask the obvious questions, but ask the deeper questions too. And a lot of hosts struggle with that. They're like, I can do this on the fly. But the reality is the more something seems spontaneous, probably the more research and preparation there was, because now there's a knowledge base, there's an understanding. But on the flip side, as a guest, you've got to do your work too. You've got to go in to be prepared for that conversation. You've got to bring your A game. You've got to know, what are the stories I can rely on and tell? What are the things I can bring to the table and just show up and be like, here are three things that are going to change your life in X space, whatever that space is that you're talking about. And you've got to do the work to understand, how does the host operate? How does this guest operate? It is a dance between the host and the guest, and the guest and the host. And there's this kind of rhythm and meter and tempo to the conversation that it can get dry and sterile very easily. It can become very surfacey or too deep. And you've got to measure those things. And the only way you can do that is by doing the work. And I am of the opinion that the work isn't done just once you say yes, but it's also done, if I'm a guest, when I'm pitching, I've got to do a little bit of my homework to make sure that I'm pitching well to a host. If I'm a host, I've got to do a little bit of work in making sure I'm vetting the right guests to be on my show. And you know, the homework, the preparation, the research, and we're not talking like, hey, we're going to do 20 days of research before we do an interview. No, we're talking, did you spend 15 or 20 minutes before you said yes, just checking in, is this person valid? Is this person going to bring value? Is this person going to show up? If I'm a guest, do I spend an hour and just have their show playing while I'm working at my desk and go, yeah, this is a show that I can bring value to? Do the work before you show up. And be prepared to show up when you have those conversations. Your audience will thank you. The host will thank you. Your guests will thank you. If everyone is prepared and does their job, it is a job to do these things, then you're really going to craft something special.
Yeah. The thing about, like we're saying, the thing about this industry is, yes, the bar to entry is low. Like I say, you just need a mic and a place to record and you got yourself a podcast. We know that, but that's not what it's about. That's not where we end, right? That's, we want to be good and great at what we're doing. And like you said, it takes work. It takes effort. It takes growth. Something I always say is that you need to, if you want to be in this industry, like any craft, you can learn. It's a skill, a lot of moving parts. It's a skill that you can get better at and improve on. Is to indulge and engage in the industry. How do you do that? Start by listening to other shows, right? There are so many shows out there, so many different genres and styles. It will be extremely beneficial for you to listen as often as you can to as many shows as you can. It's almost your responsibility if you claim you want to be good at this craft. You agree, Michael?
Yeah, I think it's the difference between great and good is doing the job, doing the work. I'll share this story. We had a really big, high-profile person come on the show. It was one of my dream guests. I have a book of guests that are on my dream list, and it's wide and vast on who those people are. And I had this dream guest who I finally got booked on the show, and we sat down for the interview. And the person, you could tell, was a little bit like, why am I here? I was told that I had to be here. I don't really want to do this interview. And at the end of the interview, this specific person said, you know, Michael, I get asked to do a lot of interviews and I don't like doing them because everyone can have a mic. Everyone can put out a show, but not everyone can do a good interview. And you did a really good interview. So when you show up like that and you have a person that brings credibility, we're coming back to that credibility point, credibility of trust, where like if I pitch to somebody else that knows that person personally, they may pick up the phone now and say, hey, so-and-so, I saw that you had Jumble, you were on Jumble Think. Was he a good host? Was it a good show? And now I can use that credibility as a superpower to book the guests that are my dream guests. Because of those relationships, the degree of separation between me and potential guests is getting smaller and smaller because I know more and more people in the spaces that I'm interviewing. And so that credibility, not only does it build confidence, but then in turn, that credibility gets more yeses as a host. And then when I pitch other shows, I can refer back to, hey, I was a guest on Josh's show. You can go check out the interview. You have a similar show and you're talking about not being hidden in what you're doing. And this is a great conversation you can check out. It's again, a credibility builder. And so doing the work and showing up as a guest or as a host, doing the job and being prepared builds for future success, not only from a listener standpoint, but also from a positioning standpoint to open up the door to the dream guests, but also to open the door to the dream shows you want to be on to.
As Michael, as you might see in the chat here, our host wants you to comment more about dream guests. Please speak to that more. And before you do, I will say that if you remember, I've had the good fortune to know you for a few years now. We've spent a lot of time in person together at different events. And at one of our events, we found ourselves talking. You showed me a small little notebook you had with about, I don't know, 100 or so names of your dream guests. And it was so fascinating for me to not only look through a list of all of your dream guests, but I found myself asking you one by one, and you were playing along. It was fantastic. I was like, why this person? Oh, so-and-so, why her? And you had a reason for everybody. But regardless of that, if you could speak to dream guests a little more.
Yeah, so little orange, burnt orange Moleskine notebook. That's the one you're talking about. 104 people currently on that list. Unfortunately, some of them I will never get to interview because they've passed or, you know, that kind of thing. I think early on in the show, I realized that I had to understand who did I want to talk to and why do I want to talk to them? And you mentioned both of those things. I have this list and you went one by one. Why do you want this person on your show? Like, so Dick Van Dyke's number 19. Why do I want Dick Van Dyke on the show? Well, one, it would be a phenomenal conversation because his career is incredible. But beyond that, he understands how to show up and communicate and tell story in a way that is unique to only him. That is a benchmark for other actors. And so why do I want him on the show? It's not to talk about his career. It's to talk to him about understanding how to communicate at such a level that people feel like they're a part of their childhood, he's a part of their adulthood. They're the memories that they have with their parents because of Dick Van Dyke in this case. And so you look at those kind of guests, there is understanding the guests that are dream guests, people that I want to be in the room with, whether it's a virtual room or an in-person room. But then it's going a step further. I shared this with Josh years ago, and I stand by this. I had a professor, a music professor, who taught at college for a class I was in, and he has gold and platinum albums. And he was teaching a songwriting class, and he said, "Michael, do you know what a cliche is?" And I said, "Something that you've heard time and time again." And he goes, "In songwriting, a cliche is anything you've ever heard before." And I take that approach with podcasting. And so I have this list of dream guests, and they're dream guests because, one, they're great guests for the show. Two, they're people that I admire or look up to or find interesting or fascinating for some reason. And then three, I don't just stop at having this dream guest list. I understand why I want that person on. One by one, why do I want this person on this show? And I'm not looking for career highlights, talking about all the cool things that they've done, because all of these people are interesting people. But I'm looking for the story that no one else has shared. I want to get to the conversation that no one else can hear anywhere else with that person. So if I'm sitting down with Barack Obama, what is the conversation I can have with him that he's never had with any other podcaster? He's never had on any other TV show. What is that conversation? And so my dream guest isn't just about the dream guests that I have that are going to bring value to the show, that are going to give us profile, that are going to be stories that other people really get excited about. But what is the conversation? What is it that that guest brings to the conversation that no other guest can bring? And then that no one's ever going to hear anywhere else except for our show. So if we unpack that from a guesting standpoint, which is why we're here to talk about that, one, as a host, I understand who I want and why I want them. As a guest, I'm bringing people in that they're not going to have the same pitch. They're not going to have the same talking points. They're not going to have the same conversation. You're going to have a unique conversation, so that if somebody wants to hear somebody talk about the specific guest talk about a specific thing, my show is the place that they have to go, and they're not going to ever hear that conversation again. And so now we're talking about different levels of guesting. Now we're bringing in guests that are bringing value, but unique and fresh perspectives that they haven't ever unlocked. I had one guest on, it was an Olympic athlete. And she said, after the interview, we got off the conversation. She said, "It's been quite cathartic to go through this conversation. In some ways it was reminiscent of the things that I've forgotten about. But in other ways, it reminds me of where I'm going." And so now we have this conversation that isn't only about having a cool guest on the show, having a great conversation, but as a host, I'm able to guide a conversation where she's having spark moments where she's like, "This is fresh and new for me." And that's going to change the conversation. And now people who are listening or watching to the conversation, they're going to be like, "Wow, I never knew that about that person. Wow, I've never heard them say that. Wow, that's an insight that I can apply to my own life." It's a fresh and new conversation. So dream guests for me are about those places where you can go so much deeper, so much further than you're going to hear anywhere else.
Whether it's a dream guest or not, let's take the conversation into creating guest criteria for your show. Thanks to our host for prompting that. I said a little while ago that when I first started my show, I knew early on what it was doing for me personally. It was giving me a sense of meaning, purpose, identity, and filling me with confidence. Totally surprised that this medium was even able to do that. So for that reason alone, I started doubling down and started looking for as many wonderful guests as I can, so I can get numbers and try to establish myself as a player in this industry. So early on, my criteria was twofold, simply. It was step one, step two. Is this somebody I want to spend time with? Do I enjoy this person? Can I connect with this person? Do I vibe and appreciate this person? And if that was a yes, I said, okay, does this person have a story to tell? And that's pretty broad, right? So early on, that was my broad criteria. Do I like this person? Do they have something remotely intriguing to share? And then we went, and then I found it my responsibility to bring out the best intriguing story that I could. And it worked out well. But then as I developed over the years, it tightened up the criteria, right? How do you develop guest criteria, Michael? And what could our listeners take away as well?
Well, number one, audience is the hero. If you're creating content for your audience, whether it's an audience of one or an audience of 1,000 or 100,000 or 1,000,000, you create a show for the audience. Now, hopefully as a host, you align with that. But at the end of the day, sorry, you're creating a show for them, not for yourself. And so I need a guest that's going to align to, for me, my criteria is, do they align with values and beliefs that I have? Or is this going to be a conversation that can bring a deeper layer of understanding on things that we might disagree on? So values, that's one criteria. Two, is this person going to show up to share good stories? Are they going to be able to communicate? Are they going to be able to give actionable items that our audience is going to be able to take away from the conversation? That's two. Three, is it going to be entertaining? Are we going to have a lot of fun along the way? Is it going to be a really good conversation that people are going to be engaged and want to listen to? So that's another criteria. And four, what's the person's reputation? You do the research and you find that some people pitching your shows are just not great people. And you need to have people that you believe in. Even if you disagree with the person, you can believe in them. So you need to make sure that they align with you. Beyond that, when it comes to messaging and your audience and your niche and understanding everything like that, that's going to be really unique to each show on what those values and criterias are. But figure what they are out early and hold true to them, and very rarely make exceptions for those criteria. And when you find that doesn't work, move away from it and reinvent that. Don't be like stuck to it either.
Let's flip the table now and go to the other side of the mic and position ourselves as the guest on shows. Specifically, how do we position ourselves the best we can when going on shows? Michael, you've done over 100 guest spots, no small feat. How do you consciously and deliberately position yourself when you're on these shows as the guest, and for what reason?
Number one, I ask the host, what would bring value to you and your show? What would bring value to your audience? I just straight up ask them. And then I do preparation around their answer. Oh, we want this on the show. We want that on the show. Okay, great. Let me prepare for that. So we have a dialogue back and forth, and I want to go deeper than just showing up on the day. I want to make sure that I'm prepared for it. So I'm going to listen to their show. I'm going to ask those questions when we're onboarding as me being on their show. Hey, what are the things that you'd really like to cover? What are the things that your audience really wants to hear about? What are the things? And then I sit down and Tom Hanks, there's some great videos on YouTube about Tom Hanks and how he prepares for interviews. It is fascinating. He spends time preparing for interviews, and he does very few interviews because he puts the time in. So when he shows up to like Colbert or Fallon, he knows stories he's going to pull up. So I do the same kind of thing. What are the stories that can apply to the topics we're going to talk about? How can I communicate in a way that's going to be effective and empathize with the audience and draw them into the story? What are the things that are going to bring them value? What are some actionable things I can give them to help them in their challenge? And so I'm thinking those through, and then I'm following the host lead. And if the host isn't great, then I try to get in there and I try to help the conversation have some life to it if they're struggling, and work with them through that conversation.
It's come up a few times now, the prep versus no prep, no matter what side of the mic you're on. I know that in the industry, there's a big two sides of the camp here where it's no, I don't do any preparation because I want it to be free flowing. I want it to feel authentic. And then the other side says, no, I absolutely want to prepare because I want to be prepared. And as you put it, Michael, that only when you are intimately prepared can there be a sense of spontaneity. And I love how you brought up the fact that Tom Hanks prepares for these talk shows. Truth be told, any and every late night talk show or daytime talk show or any talk show is prepared and rehearsed before Letterman is sitting down with Tom Hanks or anybody else. That afternoon, they are at the desk going over what questions he's going to ask, what stories they're going to tell, what jokes Letterman's going to set up for him to then reply so the audience laughs. These are rehearsed and prepared. But do you know it? To your point, of course not. That because it all looks like spontaneity. Are we supposed to be able to get to that in that direction? Is that the goal?
So I don't prepare by asking questions. I prepare by understanding the topic, understanding the guest and their history, and writing down topics to discuss. So if I go over like this interview card that I have with the guest that I interviewed on Thursday, I write down facts about them. I write down areas of topics. This specific person is a coach for actors. And I ask them about how do you create artistic energy in a actor. And so that's a topic. It's not a question. The topic there's artistic energy. Now I can go off of that in different ways. I have cues and prompts that I can use. And when the bigger the interview, the more prepared I go into it so that if they mention something, I can jump into the conversation that they've brought in and be like, oh yeah, so-and-so. Oh, when you mention that, that's, you know, this, or refer back to it. And now we can have a conversation where they feel like I understand and see them as a guest. But beyond that, I show up prepared and ready to go any direction that they want to go and anywhere the conversation is. You follow the conversation, but you prepare for that conversation.
Wow. Sorry, this is Norma Jean from the Podbean team. It has been such a pleasure. We are running low on time, but we just wanted to say thank you so much, Michael and Josh. It has been a real treat hearing your perspectives on, you know, bringing in guests and criteria and dream guest lists and all of that to how to be a good guest and do the research so that, you know, when the time comes, you can be spontaneous. So any ending thoughts from you two?
Yeah. There was a question in here about what are some of your favorite dream guests and episodes? I'll answer that question real quick. We've been fortunate to have LeVar Burton on, who is just phenomenal. We had a guy named Eric Reed on, who's this jazz musician. It's one of our longest episodes. And it was just fascinating to hear about culture as a black man in the 60s and 70s in the Southeast. And so that was a dream guest and just really phenomenal. We've had a lot of people, a guy named Erwin McManus that most of you won't even know who he is, but he's a dream guest of mine. So we've had big guests. We've had a dream guest doesn't have to be a big name, but yeah, it can be just your dream guest that brings value to your audience.
And absolutely. Josh, jump in.
And I was just going to say, to wrap it all up, I think what we're saying overall is no matter what side of the mic you're on, you have to go into it with the proper expectations for yourself and the proper end game, your goals naturally. Know why you're doing any of it and simply work towards that end. Do what works for you and everything will work out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think definitely agreed on that. And podcasting, like you said, there's so much freedom within the platform. And it's definitely one of those things where, you know, with guests and guesting, it's about finding the right guest for your show. And Michael, I also just before we read the outro and jump off, I wanted to say I really appreciated what you said about dream guests, that they don't have to be the most famous, because part of what makes a guest, you know, from where we're sitting, is part of what makes a guest so great is telling people why they're so great and sharing their story, because maybe the audience hasn't heard it before. So thank you both so much. It's been such a treat. We're going to jump into the outro. And big thanks to Josh Carey and Michael Woodward from PodMax. Thank you everyone for joining us for this live stream, The Value of Guests and Guesting with Josh Carey and Michael Woodward from PodMax. If you joined late or want to have another listen to these amazing podcasters and experts, you can replay this panel on the How to Start a Podcast Live channel. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, How to Start a Podcast Live is a live streamed event with sessions like this one featuring top podcasters and podcasting experts from around the world together here on our live stream platform, Podbean Live. As we dive into production, promotion, editing, audience growth, live streaming, and more, you can replay any of the panels on the How to Start a Podcast Live podcast channel and download the Podbean app to follow the channel and receive notifications in real time about all of the live streams and replays from the week. How to Start a Podcast Live is brought to you by Podbean. We're a podcast hosting and monetizing platform and home to over 500,000 podcasts. And you can easily start a podcast at podbean.com or from our app within minutes. We offer something for every podcaster and show, with options ranging from a free account to multiple show hosting to our enterprise platform for businesses and various podcast creation, monetization, and engagement tools. Head over to podbean.com to start your podcast today. And if you use the code PODNOW, you'll get your first 30 days free. That's PODNOW to get your first 30 days of hosting for free. Stay tuned for our next and last session of How to Start a Podcast Live on live streaming your podcast, which is beginning just in a minute with the team here at Podbean, where we will be giving away a Shure MV7 mic. Thank you once again, Josh Carey, Michael Woodward. It has been a pleasure. Thank you both so much for joining us for The Value of Guests and Guesting.
Thank you for having us here. It's been an honor and a privilege.
Podbean rocks. Thank you so much.
Thank you both so much. All right, everyone, we're jumping on to live streaming your podcast right now. We'll see you there.